This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A possible merger with everything on it.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Last month was the biggest August in a decade for mergers and acquisitions. And as we start September this morning, we get news of another potential whopper of an acquisition. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live with more. Hi, Jeremy.
Morning, Bill.
Who is it this time?
Well, at the risk of making you hungry, it is Burger King. The company has been a public company since 2006, but there are reports this morning that it's considering a sale and has held talks with potential buyers. Now, Burger King recently forecast a tough fiscal year ahead, and analysts say that's one reason why it's an attractive target for private equity firms. It's cheaper now than it would otherwise be.
Let me grill you thusly, Jeremy. Would going private help or hurt Burger King?
Well, Bill, I spoke with an analyst named Tom Forte, who covers Burger King for the Tesley Advisory Group, and he said it would be a good thing for Burger King to go private because it could focus on fine-tuning its business without worrying about Wall Street.
So oftentimes this allows companies to perhaps think longer term rather than worry about meeting the earnings estimates of the next quarter.
And for Burger King, he says that would mean more time to roll out some new products that use a new broiler it's been installing in its restaurants. He says it's going to be quite a feat to attract customers without the company's dollar double cheeseburger promotion, which I know you love, Bill.
Yes, what will they do? Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill.
There are reports Blockbuster could file for bankruptcy in the next month. And that could help the video store chain get out of leases. Analysts say Blockbuster might end up closing hundreds of stores, which got us wondering, in these days of videos in the mail and at the grocery store and on demand, how is it that the video store even exists? Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
Blockbuster seems to be a bit of a relic from another age.
A large store like a Blockbuster has become a dinosaur.
Arvind Bhatia is an analyst with Stern Agee. He says consumers want convenience. They don't want to drive to Blockbuster. The grocery store is easier.
So they would just rather pick it up from a Redbox kiosk or just have it come to them at home via mail.
So why hasn't Blockbuster gone the way of the T-Rex yet? Michael Pachter is an analyst with Wedbush Securities. He says there's still something fun about discovering movies at the video store.
You walk around the perimeter of the store and you say, oh my goodness, you know, Sylvester Stallone made another movie, maybe I'll rent it. I actually like that experience, and a lot of consumers do.
But neither Pachter or Bhatia think the pleasure of finding a new Stallone film will be enough to save Blockbuster stores in the long run. DVDs will, soon enough, they predict, wind up in the pile of extinct technology. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
August was terrible for stocks. What about September so far? So far, so good. Stocks have gained a solid 1% in Europe and Asia. We learned that Chinese manufacturing growth picked up and Australia's economy grew briskly. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow managed a 5-point gain to close at 10,014. The number of planned layoffs at U.S. companies fell sharply in August. Now, there's not enough hiring going on to bring down unemployment, but this morning's news from an outplacement firm that the decrease in scheduled layoffs appeared in August, well, that could be a good sign.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Time Warner Cable has doubled the fee it charges customers for not listing their telephone number in a phone book. You heard that right. Time Warner has doubled what it charges for not doing something. Here to stop my head from spinning is Los Angeles Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why are we being charged for nothing?
Well, this is a beautiful thing, isn't it? They are charging you not to put your name in the phone book or not to give your name out for directory assistance. And then even better, because that's just a few taps on a keyboard. You know, you're giving your preference and then it's done. But then they charge you on a recurring basis, which makes no sense whatsoever.
A recurring basis because they're continuing to not do anything, so you're getting charged again.
And that's exactly what Time Warner Cable told me when I said, how can this be a recurring fee? And they said, well, we're giving you this service throughout the month. That is the service of them not doing something as they perpetually not do that thing for you. Well, of course, they can keep charging you for not doing it.
Some of us have heard about a fee for an unlisted number. The idea for phone companies is they want their phone book to get used. So, you know, it's more valuable to advertisers if you list your phone number. But Time Warner doesn't publish phone books.
No, they don't. In fact, they contract with a rival telecom company, Sprint, to take all of their phone customers, compile them together, and then give them to another phone company, which dominates a particular market, AT&T or Verizon, and put it in their directory. So just to recap, this is a fee to not put your name in a phone book that they don't have.
Now, to be fair, David, if my having an unpublished number, whoever's published, not publishing it, if that's a value to me, shouldn't I pay for it or go somewhere else?
I would say no, and a number of lawmakers agree with me, because this is a privacy question, first and foremost. You are making this decision to protect your privacy. Why should you have to pay extra for that? Moreover, in the age of blogging, when virtually anybody can be considered a minor celebrity, the notion that you now have to pay to protect yourself from people calling you up day and night, oh, dude, I read your blog, that is ridiculous. I talked to a state lawmaker in California, Fran Pavley, who tried to pass legislation that would prevent these fees on privacy grounds. She said the telecom companies, the phone companies, the cable companies fought her tooth and nail to protect this revenue stream, and she had to back off from her bill.
He never returns my calls. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, the annual Best Places to Work list is out. It's a ranking of job satisfaction at federal agencies. The big loser was the Securities and Exchange Commission. The SEC took heat for not regulating Wall Street right, and employee happiness plummeted. Then there's the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. The FDIC has had to shut down 250 failed banks in the last year and a half. Job satisfaction there has soared. I guess it feels good to be needed. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.